speak. I know that it will. And so I hope that you allow it to speak to you. And that is our prayer here tonight in church, is for God's word to speak to our hearts. So I want to go ahead and get into the message tonight. I got some time here. I'm looking at the clock. I know we shouldn't make a big deal about time, but Pastor said in the next hour during his prayer. Who heard that? Was okay, a couple of you heard it and thought, oh no. He gave me an hour. So for the song and the preaching, I figured the song about 4 minutes, I got 56. And so praise the Lord. But no, I'm trying not to do that tonight. We've got the Lord's table. And I just want to share with you what God's laid on my heart. I want to go ahead and get right into the message tonight. We're going to continue our series here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been looking at hearsay versus he say. Am I ringing a little bit here? Can y'all hear that or just me? I hear that. I'm good. But anyway, we've been talking about hearsay versus he say. And I hope that I am relaying to you what God has given me from these messages. I was thinking about it this afternoon, and I honestly can say that God has really been dealing with me in the study on the Sermon on the Mount. And I hope as God's been dealing with me that somehow I've been able to relay to you what God is doing for me. Because I really believe that at the heart of what Jesus is teaching, we've been talking about Jesus is correcting their teaching. And I really believe at the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach, or not what he's trying to teach, Jesus tries to do nothing. What Jesus is teaching, the heart of it is the heart. The heart of the matter is the heart. I'm more convinced of that tonight than I was 2-3 months ago when we started this series of messages. I looked this afternoon, we're 15 messages into the Sermon on the Mount. And I can tell you, 15 messages in, I'm more convinced now than I was when I began that the message of this sermon is the heart. Jesus is trying to preach, or trying to get us to see, that the very core of what we need is in our heart. When he says that lest our righteousness, in verse number 20, exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I am confident that what Jesus is saying is that the scribes and the Pharisees had an external righteousness. They had an outward righteousness. And Jesus said that your righteousness has got to exceed their righteousness, because your righteousness needs to be internal, not external. Now, we do know what the Bible teaches. Whatever's on the inside will make its way out. Out of the heart proceed the issues of life. The Bible over and over talks about how that what's in our heart will find its way out into our lives. And so I'm not minimizing, nor do I believe that the Lord Jesus is minimizing the external, but he is emphasizing the internal. Not minimizing the external, but emphasizing the internal. And so I want to just speak to you tonight on that thought tonight. I want us to continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount with that thought in mind. It's the heart that Jesus is after. And so on first glance, tonight's topic, I tell you, it doesn't seem like it even compares. As Pastor was reading, or maybe if you had looked ahead in previous weeks as we're looking through this, you probably thought, this doesn't even come close to what Jesus has been teaching. He's talked about murder. He's talked about adultery. He's talked about divorce, and I'm glad we're past that. But you would say, this doesn't even compare the topic of tonight. But I believe as we will see, as we dig into it tonight, that this may hit a little closer to home than we think. The truth that Jesus is teaching tonight may hit closer to home than we think. It may hit closer to home than anything that we've looked at this far. And so let's get right into it. I want to look at first the precept. We're going to continue with the outline that I've been using as we've looked through these hearsay versus he say statements in Matthew chapter number 5. And as we look at this one tonight, we're going to continue with that same outline. And so the first thing I want to see is the precept in verse number 33. Look at verse 33. It says, again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. So Jesus is quoting something that has been taught, right? We're talking about he's correcting their teaching. And he says, you've heard that it's been said by them of old time. There is a teaching that obviously has been taught for a long time. And so we want to see what that precept is. He says, you have heard that it's been said by them of old time. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now there's some discussion or some disagreement about which Old Testament precept is being mentioned here. Some believe that it is a combination of few, and some believe that it is talking about the third commandment. You'll know the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Some think that that's what Jesus is alluding to when he gives this statement. I don't think that you can find this statement, though some of the others you can look back in the Old Testament and you can find them word for word. You can't find this statement word for word in the Old Testament or in the prophets, but this truth is scattered throughout. And so I'm going to give you a couple verses. I personally think that it's talking about Leviticus 19:12. The Bible says, I won't have you turn there tonight. I've wrote these down because for sake of time, but Leviticus 19:12, you can look it up sometime. It says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely. For those of you that don't know, I believe most do, but in verse number 33, where it says, thou shalt not forswear thyself. That word forswear literally means to swear falsely. That's what it means. If you were to look up the word forswear in your Strong's Concordance, it would say to swear falsely or to commit perjury. And so the word forswear means to swear falsely. And so Leviticus 19:12 says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. So you do have the teaching in the third commandment, even in this verse. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we get into the message, because I do believe that that truth applies. But I believe Jesus is talking about Leviticus 19, verse number 12 in this. But I believe that we could look through many other verses in the law and the prophets and teach this truth. If you're taking notes and you want to write down some, I looked every one of these up, but Exodus 22:11 is one verse. Exodus 20 verse 7, Numbers chapter 30 verse number 2, Deuteronomy chapter number 6 verse number 13. Pastor was teaching through the Ten Commandments sometime back, and he went through Deuteronomy chapter 6 in detail, and you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 where it talks about taking an oath. And so Deuteronomy chapter number 6 verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 21, Zechariah chapter 8 verse 16 and 17, and many other places in the Old Testament and in the prophets, you'll find where there is this teaching about oath taking, about swearing falsely, about forswearing. And that's what Jesus is correcting, is how that they had taught this truth. And so I want to get into that thought tonight. So I want to say this with the precept. Number one, it is correct. As all the other precepts that we've looked at, this precept is correct. I just read to you Leviticus 19 verse 12. Compare them. And you shall not swear by my name falsely. Right? Look at verse number 33. Jesus said, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Those two line up perfectly. And neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. And he says, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. You know what that's saying? If you don't, you're going to profane God's name. If you don't perform an oath that you have made to the Lord, then therefore you will profane the name of God. Because you're going to make God's name not important. And that's what profane means. It means to empty, to make it of unimportance. And so I do believe Leviticus chapter 19 verse 12 is teaching this truth. And so when Jesus tells these people that are listening to him, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. This is a correct teaching, as is every other teaching that Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter number 5. This is a correct teaching. I don't want to get off here and get off track, but I do want to say this in case there's someone that would wonder. There are some people that will take these verses that Jesus is teaching on, and because Jesus says in verse number 34, he says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. Right? You see that? Verse number 34. He says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. And we'll look into those verses here in a moment. Some people take those verses and say that we're not to ever swear. We're not to ever make an oath. There's people that would go to court and they would refuse to put their hand upon a Bible and make an oath because they say that that's what this verse of Scripture is teaching. I don't believe for one minute that's what this verse of Scripture is teaching. And there's many reasons why. I just showed you in Leviticus where he said not to swear by my name falsely. You could have looked at some of those verses that I gave you where God commanded them to swear by an oath. In the Old Testament, God would tell them, hey, make an oath, but when you do, keep it. And so Jesus isn't teaching to not swear at all, not to ever make an oath. I was just in my own personal Bible reading. Some of you are following the same Bible plan that I'm following just this week in my own personal Bible reading. It's amazing how sometimes in your personal Bible reading, it'll line up with what you're preaching or with what you're teaching. And we're reading through Genesis right now. And in the book of Genesis, right at the end of Jacob's life, you know what he does? He makes Joseph give him an oath. He says to Joseph, I want you to make an oath with me that you will not, you will take me back to the land of Canaan or along those lines. And then Joseph tells the children of Israel to make an oath with him. And all throughout the Old Testament, you say, well, that was before God had gave the law. Well, do you remember when David and Jonathan made an oath? That was after the law, and David was a man after God's own heart, and David made an oath with Jonathan that he would be good to someone of Jonathan's household, and we know that wonderful story of Mephibosheth. David kept his oath. He kept his promise to his friend, and we could go through the Old Testament. We could go to the New Testament. We could look how that God, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that God, when he could swear by nothing greater than himself, he made a promise. God made an oath with us. And the Apostle Paul made oaths, and it's all throughout the Old and the New Testament. So there's no doubt that's not what God is teaching here. That's not what the Lord Jesus is teaching in these verses of Scripture. But there's some that would say that. But either way, this precept is correct. But yet, just like the other precepts, they had corrupted it. They had corrupted this precept. You say, what had they done to corrupt this precept? They were creating loopholes. We keep mentioning loopholes. Right? The scribes and the Pharisees had created all kinds of loopholes around their oaths, kind of like the fine print. Right? How many of you, when you read a contract, I'll tell you where they probably are really getting us at. How many of you ever really, when you like download an app on your phone, you read that stuff? Like I've like before thought, you know what? I'm not going to download this app without reading, you know, what's in this. And then I'll start reading. And I'll start scrolling, and I'll be like, good night, except I'm not reading all this, right? I'll be like, man, everybody I know's got it. So we're all going down together, okay? So this is how my mind thinks. Sometimes I think, well, my wife already has this app on her phone, and so if they're going to track her, they're going to get me too, right? I'm going down with my wife. It's her fault. I'm trying to find a loophole, right? I'm going with her. It's her fault, right? But that's what the small print, right? We read through it, and you say, what is all that about? It's loopholes. It's loopholes. Some of you work in the business world, and maybe you even own a business, and you've got contracts. I'm thinking of one right now. I won't say because I don't want to shoot a business in the foot. But if you've worked for a business or you've been in management, you know, man, they got some loopholes. You're standing there as that person signs the contract, and you're thinking, oh, no. You'll never get out of that, right? You won't get out alive. No, you won't get out without being broke. But anyway, there's loopholes, right? That's what the Pharisees and the scribes had done. They had loopholes in their oaths. They would make these oaths, and they would make these deals. But as long as they didn't do it by the name of God, they were okay. I'll show you Matthew chapter 23. Turn there real quickly. Matthew 23. History tells us that, just like last week on divorce, but even the Scripture tells us that. Look at Matthew 23. Look at verse number 16. Matthew 23, verse number 16 says, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. And in verse number 1, you'll see that, and to his disciples, much like what we're reading right now in Matthew chapter number 5. And in verse number 16, he says, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. You can go back to Matthew chapter number 5. You see, Jesus was he goes back to this same truth later on in his earthly ministry, really near the end of his earthly ministry. And he comes back and he goes again at this thing that these scribes and these Pharisees, these hypocrites were doing, and that is they were making loopholes. You seen it there, didn't you? Said, oh, if you swear by this, it really isn't a big deal. But if you swear by this, it is a big deal. I don't know how many of you, those of you that grew up in the 80s will understand what I'm saying. I don't know what they did in the 70s. Right, amen. Yeah, I don't know.
They did it better.
They did it better, right? When I was growing up, people would say, and I was thinking about this week, and I was like, I can't, what did that even mean? I swear on my mama's life. Did any of y'all grow up, the 80s people, okay. That's what they used to say. Like, that was for real. Okay? And then if you wanted to get real for real, you'd be like, I swear on my mama's grave. And your mama's alive. And so I was like, I don't know. What are you saying? You're going to kill your mama? I don't know. I don't know what you're saying, right? But they had all kinds of oaths. You know, when you were growing up, I thought of another one. What was it? Well, we had pinky promises. How many of you remember that? You couldn't cheat on a pinky promise unless you had your fingers crossed. Yeah, that's a loophole, right? That's what they were doing, right? You could make a pinky promise with this hand, but cross your fingers with this hand, and you were all right, right? See, it ain't changed. It ain't changed. I told you, it's going to get closer to home than you think. That's what Jesus was dealing with. They, you know, what was it? Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a, that was the 70s right there. Now, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. What? They were just a twisted bunch, right? You're going to stick a needle in your eye, right? But I don't know, but they have all kinds of ways to let somebody know I'm telling the truth, right? And there was all kinds of loopholes and outs out of that statement. And that's what these Pharisees had done. They had corrupted what God had given for their protection. We talked about the law and the prophets. What is the Old Testament law given for? It's given for protection. Right? It's given for prosperity. It's given for proving. It's given for pointing. And God had given these people this law and this Old Testament law of making an oath. I believe God gave it to them because he knew they were a bunch of liars. And God said, you need to understand the importance of telling the truth. You need to understand the importance of doing what you say. You need to understand the importance of keeping your word. And so he gave them this Old Testament truth of making an oath, and they had taken it and they had corrupted it and found all kinds of loopholes in it and wrote a long contract with it, right? Just like those ones you signed. You don't read all the small print. It's loopholes. That's what they had done. And so it was a correct teaching, but it had been corrupted. And so we see, number one, the precept. Now I want to see the principle. Once again, the Lord has taken away the loopholes. That's what he's doing in Matthew chapter number 5. I'm more convinced of that. I already said this, but I want to really nail it home tonight. I'm more convinced than ever that in Matthew chapter number 5, what Jesus is doing is he's getting rid of the loopholes. He's going to the heart. He's saying, oh, you've got all your external way of doing things. You've got your loopholes. You've got your contracts. You've got your little sayings, and you know how to cross your fingers, and you know how to get out of stuff. But I want to get down to the heart of the matter. And that's what Jesus is doing. He is eliminating the loopholes, and he's going to the heart of it. So what is the principle here in that Jesus is trying to teach? I think there's two principles. Now, I'm sure there's many more, but I want to give you two principles that I believe Jesus is teaching here. And number one is honesty. Honesty. That's what Jesus is teaching. They had found a loophole. They had found a way around it. And Jesus is bringing them back to the intent. Right? That's what he's been doing the entire time. He's not as concerned about the action as he is about the intent. And he wants them to understand that the reason that God gave that precept was not so that you could find a way around it. No, God gave that precept so that they would understand the importance of honesty. Now, I realize I'm speaking to a group of people tonight, for the most part, I believe, are honest. But if we're all honest tonight, we could all do a little better on honesty. I'm not afraid to admit it. Probably one of the most common prayers I pray of confession is, God, forgive me for lying. You say, Brother David, you shouldn't say that. You're a preacher. Preachers lie. Now, that sounds terrible, right? I didn't mean that the way it sounded, right? I ain't going to get no amens out of pastor here. That's right. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example, personal illustration or example. This week, just this week, I'm preparing, I'm studying, I'm praying, I'm asking God to help me. And one day this week, I leave the house, I'm running a little behind, really on my own schedule. I own my own business, so I really don't have to be at work at a certain time. But I have a time in my mind that I want to be there. And so I'm running a little bit behind on my time, right? And I decide that I knew that we were going to need some paint eventually. And so I decided I'm going down 29. I've been working out in the Keswick area. So I've been going 33 towards Gordonsville. But that morning, I think it was Thursday or Friday morning, I thought, well, I'm going to go down 29 and I'm going to go ahead and go by the paint store this morning in case we run out of paint. And so I'm going through Ruckersville, and I get to the light in Ruckersville right there at Watts Passes, where Bethel Baptist Church is. Some of you that are north, you won't know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, God's people, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? But I'm right there coming through Greene County, and you cross the line right there right before you get to Bethel, Lake Saponi. You know what I'm saying? You kind of cross the line, and you enter Albemarle County, right there at Watts Passage. And so I call Dale that works with me, and I say, Dale, hey, I'm on my way to the job. I got to run by the paint store real quick. He said, he called me. I said, I'm lying already. That's why I ask God to forgive me for lying, right? That's why I do it, okay? Dale calls me, and he says, hey, man, we need some paint. I said, I know. I'm on my way to the paint store, and so I'm going to be there in just a little bit. I said, I'm coming through Charlottesville. Now, technically, I mean, I just crossed the line in Albemarle County, right? I'm looking for a loophole, okay? And so I hang up the phone with Dale, and he says, all right. And I say, I'll be there in just a little bit. I'm going to stop by the paint store. I'll be there in a little bit. And I hang up the phone, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, you liar. You know what I'm talking about? And I thought, I got to call him back. And I thought, no, I'm not going to call him back. But God just dealt with me about that thing. You know what I done? As soon as I got to the job, I walked in there and I said, Dale, I said, man, I took longer than I thought. He said, they get to talking to you at the paint store, which they did. Especially if you go to Madison paint store, man, they really get to talking to you over there. You got to watch Marcus. You can't be in a hurry and going Cardinal in Madison, all right? But I stopped in Charlottesville, but I did get to talking, but that wasn't real. He said, would you get talking at the paint store? I said, I did a little bit, but that wasn't why I was late. I said, Dale, when I told you I was coming through Charlottesville, I was passing Bethel. He said, well, that's Albemarle County. I said, I know, but I should have said I'm going to Charlottesville, not through Charlottesville, right? I said, man, I don't want to lie to you. You know what? That may not mean much to you, but it does to me. And I do stuff like that on a regular basis. I'm sorry, but I do. And you know what? When God deals with me about it, by the grace of God, I'll get it right. I can't tell you the times I've called someone back and said, I just lied to you. I'm serious. I've done it. I don't want that on my conscience. And so I'm talking about honesty, right? I'm not talking about, you know, so when I say that I lie, I'm not talking about I'm just like a, you know, a full-blown liar, but I lie, and so do you. I'm just willing to admit it. Maybe you're not. But Jesus is talking to these people about honesty. He's getting to the heart of the matter, and he's trying to get them to understand, hey, you need to be honest. Y'all laughing because he said you're right. He's running for office. You know politicians lie, right? No, I'm just like, he didn't even hear that, right? That's what I'm talking about. Hey, listen to me. Hey, you got to be honest, right? Going to be an honest politician. That's right. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to start a conversation. I'm sorry. Honesty. Jesus is saying, hey, he's telling them, be honest. Tell the truth. You know, we're God's children. You know what Jesus is? He is the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 1 says that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is truth. And Jesus says, if you're my children, I think in 1 John it says that we lie, if we deceive ourselves, if we walk not in the light as he's in the light, we deceive ourselves and we're not of the truth, right? Because he's of the truth. And so Jesus is trying to get these guys, these men, his listeners to understand the importance of truth, of being honest, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Colossians 3, 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We know that we need to tell the truth, but do we? Are you honest? I believe you are. I want you to understand that. I really do believe you are. I believe I'm talking to an honest group of people tonight, but we could all work on being a little more honest, a little more truthful. Letting your yea be yea. Look at verse number 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Jesus is saying, hey, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Be honest. And so number one, I believe the principle is honesty. But number two, I think it goes beyond just honesty with our lips, but it goes to honor with our life. And so Jesus is saying the principle is honesty, but I believe he's also saying the principle is honor. You say, what is honor? I looked it up this afternoon. The word honor literally means integrity. To be honorable, to have honor is to be someone of integrity. And I believe that Jesus is teaching these people, it's not just about being honest with your lips, but it's about being honorable with your life. Do what you say you're going to do. That's what most oaths were. An oath was a contract almost in our day. It would kind of be like us signing a contract in our day. It was making a promise. It was swearing to do something with someone. As I said, Jacob made Joseph give him an oath. He was saying, Joseph, there's something that I want you to do. And this Jesus is teaching that the principle here is being honest with our lips, letting our yea be yea and our nay, nay, but also being honorable with our life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You say, is that talking about our conversation in the way we speak? It's actually not. It's talking about conversation in the way we live. It goes on to say in that verse that it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. And it goes on and it says, them seeing your good works. It's talking about the way we live our lives. We ought to be known as people that are honorable. We should have a testimony of someone who does what they say. Not just that what we say is honest, but the way we live is honorable. I could have looked up so many verses that teach the truth of integrity. That's what Jesus is talking about. Having integrity. I was thinking about the Wild Game Supper yesterday, and the speaker, if you were here, you'll remember this, but Brother Caldwell was talking about how that there was a time in this country, in this society, where a handshake meant something. You know why? They were honorable. Their honor meant something. What they said mattered. If they made a commitment, they were going to do it. He mentioned that. Do you remember those of you that were here? He talked about how his father, he had underbidded a job. And I've done that. Some of you that are in business have done that. He underbidded a job and he told his dad, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell him I can't do it for that price. And he said, no, you're not. You gave him your word. And you're going to carry out your word. You're going to do what you said you would do. That's what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching honor. He's saying, do what you say you're going to do. Young people, are you listening to me? It's so important. It's so important. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, by the grace of God, do it. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes we forget. If we were to examine our lives, there's times where we've told someone that we were going to do something and we got busy or something happened and we completely forgot. But you know what honor does? Honor calls that person up and tells them, hey, I forgot and I'm sorry. Don't lie. Come up with a loophole. No, just admit it. I'm human and I forgot and I failed to keep my commitment and I'm sorry. But by the grace of God, when we say we're going to do something, we ought to do it. God dealt with me as in my own life. I told you, God's really dealing with me about these matters as I'm studying through this. I have children, and when I tell my children I'm going to do something, I want to do it. It'd do us good, parents, when we tell our children, hey, if you ask me that one more time, you're not going to get to do it. You know what? If they ask you one more time, don't let them do it. Keep your word. If you tell them there's going to be consequences for that action, then make sure there's consequences for that action. But then on the flip side, if I tell my kids I'm going to do something, I'm going to take them fishing, then by the grace of God, I ought to do everything I can to take them fishing. You say, why do you use that example? Because I've said I'm going to take them fishing before and not took them fishing. But I want my yay to be yay and my nay to be nay. I want to do what I say I'm going to do. I want to keep my commitments. That is what Jesus is teaching. He's saying, hey, be honor. Jesus is not just talking about being truthful, but he's also talking about being trustworthy. Are you trustworthy? Can people count on you? If someone asks you to do something and you say you will, are they confident that you're going to do it? You know what the Bible teaches in Proverbs, right? The confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You work with people that are not trustworthy. You can't count on them. That ought not be the case for a Christian. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm just telling you, hey, this is where we live. When we say we're going to do something, by the grace of God, we ought to do it. Our yay ought to be yay. Our nay ought to be nay. When we tell somebody we're going to be somewhere, we ought to try to be there by the grace of God. If you tell somebody you're going to help out in something, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, you ought to do everything you can to fulfill that commitment. That's what Jesus is teaching. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I was talking about that contract earlier. I've done it as a business owner. Some of you others that are business owners have done it. Maybe you've done it in your own personal life. You know what? I would rather, like Brother Caldwell said yesterday, I would rather lose some money and have a good testimony than make some money and somebody say, he's a liar. A good name's rather to be chosen than great riches. Having a testimony of someone that's honest and having a testimony of someone that's honorable is worth more than all the money in the world. Are you listening to me, young people? Because the world's trying to tell you that money's the most important thing, and I'm here to tell you it's not. Honor is far more important than money. You ought to read through the book of Proverbs over and over. It talks about how that those riches that the world has to offer is nothing in comparison. Solomon had it all. You realize Solomon wrote the Proverbs, and he didn't just make that statement in Proverbs. He made that statement in Ecclesiastes. Right. Solomon said, I've done it all. I've had all the money you can imagine. I've built all the palaces that you could build. I've owned all the land that you could own. I've had all the servants. I've tried everything this world has to offer. And you know what Solomon said? A good name's better. Right. Honor is worth more than money. And Jesus is trying to get these people to understand that. He's telling them the truth here, the intent of that precept is honesty. The intent of that precept is honor. Look at verse 37. He said, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. I think this is where the profane, and this is where many people get that this is the third commandment, that thou shalt not profane the name of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, when we don't do what we say we're going to do, when we don't keep our word, when we're not honest and when we're not honorable, you know who we're acting like? The enemy. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning and the father of it. He abode not in the truth. And you know what? When we lie to people, you know what we're acting like? The devil. And you know what we're doing? We're profaning the name of God. Are you listening? Young people, are you listening to me? We're Christians. We name the name of Christ. The people we work with ought to think we're the most, not think, they ought to know we're the most honest person on the job. We're the most honorable person in the classroom. People ought to know that we're honest and that we're honorable, because when we're not, they know where that come from. That come from the evil one. That's what some people believe this is talking about. If you study that word of evil, some people say it's talking about the evil one. It comes from Satan. But either way, it comes from evil, and evil comes from Satan. Or we're being influenced by Satan, or we're mimicking Satan. And so when we don't do what we say we're going to do, it's when we're not honest and when we're not honorable, we are misrepresenting who God is. We are profaning the name of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're making God look bad. When we lie to people and they know that person right there is a liar. Or when we don't do what we tell, we have a reputation for not doing what we say we're going to do. You know what we're doing? We are misrepresenting God. We're making him look bad. And so Jesus is telling them, hey, it's about honesty. It's about honor. That's the principle. And now I'll give you the priority or the protection and I'll be done. Say, what are we going to do then, Brother David? Well, two things. Number one, I believe it's right here in this verse, in these verses. We got to be conscious of his presence. Conscious of his presence. Look at verse number 34. Jesus said, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. You know what God's saying? God's saying, hey, what are you going to swear by that doesn't affect me? You can't swear by heaven. That's my throne. You can't swear by the earth. That's my footstool. You can't even swear by the white hair on your head. You say, but you can change it, Brother Dave. You can dye it. I know, but when the dye runs out, it's white again. And so, I was going to say, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to keep it to myself. That's hard. Pastor said this morning, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Slow to speak, Brother David. All right, so you got to be, he said, when you go swear by your head, you can't control the color of your hair. Swear on your mama's grave. Swear on your mama's life. Swear on whatever you want to swear on. You don't have, it's none of it yours. It's all his. He said, hey, don't think there's anything that you can swear on that doesn't involve me. I own it all. It's all mine. And I'm everywhere. And I see it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows when we lie. You know why it bothered me that I told Dale that I was going through Charlottesville? It's not because Dale had a GPS on me. He could have easily thought that I got hung up at the paint store talking, because I'm known to get hung up anywhere talking. But you know what? God was watching. When I lied to him and told him that I was coming through Charlottesville when I really had just creeped into Alamo County, God was watching. And when you live your life conscious of the fact that God is watching, it'll help you to be honest. If we just remember every day and every area of our life, every conversation we have, every text message we send, every email that we type up, everything we do, God is watching. It'll help us to be a whole lot more honest. Because in the end, you know what? I'm not going to stand before Dale. And I'm not going to stand before you. I'm going to stand before him. And when I stand before him, you know what the Bible talks? It talks about every idle word. Every idle word is going to be brought to judgment. Everything's going to be brought to light. Every lie that I've ever told. I don't know. You say, well, I thought they were in the depths of the sea of God's forgiveness. I can't understand it all, but I'm just telling you this. God sees it all. God sees every lie that I tell. God sees everything that I do that I shouldn't do. And if I would live my life with that thought in mind, that God's always watching. I tell this, and I'm done, okay? But my wife talks about when she was a kid sometimes, and some of you will appreciate this, especially know the pastor well. Meredith said, I thought my dad was psychic. She said he was like omniscient. He was everywhere. She said, I remember going over to friends' houses. It's a real funny story, actually. She said they wanted to watch Pocahontas, the animated version. And she said, I don't know if I can watch that. And they're like, what? You don't know if you can watch that? She's like, I don't know if my dad will approve of that. And she was like, I was like, my dad's going to know if I watch this movie. Like, how's he going to know? I don't know. He's going to know if I watch this movie, right? I think that's good. You know what that was instilling? That was instilling this truth right here in her life at a young age. Somebody's always watching. And you might grow up a little bit. Some of you young ones that are here, you think that same thing. You think dad's always watching. Mom is always knows what's going on. And can I tell you, she does most of the time. But as you get a little older, you start thinking, oh, they don't know. Dad doesn't see everything. Mom doesn't actually know everything. Easy, back up. Looking for a loophole, right? But can I tell you, God does. God sees everything. God knows everything. And if we live our lives conscious of that fact, I really believe it'll help us be a whole lot more honest and a whole lot more honorable in the way we live our lives. So number one, conscious of God's presence. And number two, consistent in your practices. You say, what's that mean? Look at verse 37. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. You know what Jesus is saying? Don't look for loopholes. Don't look for loopholes. Truth isn't on a sliding scale, depending on how big the situation is. If you got to tell somebody, I swear, I promise, I pinky promise, on whatever you want to make it on, why are you having to do that? Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth all the time. In every situation. Now I'm not saying go up to somebody and say, man, you done gained a lot of weight. Now, if they ask you, I said he. If he asked you, right? Loopholes, man. Yo, always looking for them, right? But I'm just saying, hey, consistent in your practice. You know what? My illustration, I could give many more, but I want to finish. My illustration with my coworker is not a big deal, but you know what it is? It's consistent. Jesus said it's the little foxholes. I mean, the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's another story where Jesus said, he that's faithful in the little things, he'll be given bigger things. And so if we just get consistent in the little areas of our life and always tell the truth, then when the big situations come along that are a little bit harder, because sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's going to cost you some money. Sometimes you might actually lose on the business deal. Sometimes somebody might actually get upset with you. But if you're always consistent in the little things about being honest and being honorable, then when the big things come, it's going to be a whole lot easier. So be conscious of his presence and be consistent in your practice. And I believe it'll help us to be honest and honorable in the way we live. And that is what Jesus is teaching. Let's have a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed.